Good morning and welcome to the program. Today, more interest rate hikes on the way. We'll find out what's in store for some mortgage holders. Dire warning for the UK economy. Why are some there still reluctant to blame the B word? 100 years since the birth of Brendan Behan, Professor Diarmaid Farrater examines the man and the myth. Trouble in Graceland. Priscilla Presley takes a legal challenge against her daughter Lisa Marie's will. What's going on with real-time information at bus stops? Your bus is due 1 minute and it is disappeared the next. We investigate. And advice on filling in the CAO form from Guidance Counsellor Donica O'Mahony, who will answer your questions. Do send them in to us, todaycb@rte.ie. And you can also text us 51551 or on Twitter, we're at Today with Claire. A government spokesperson has confirmed that there was a legal strategy in place around nursing home charges, but the spokesperson said it predated July 2011 and was pursued by successive governments. This relates to claims by a whistleblower on the issue, which were published in the Mail on Sunday newspaper. It was claimed that the state had pursued a strategy to curb compensation to the families of people who were forced to pay nursing home charges over three decades. Now, in today's Irish Daily Mail, there are further revelations regarding current members of Cabinet and their knowledge of the scheme, including the Taoiseach. In a moment, I'll be joined by Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland and Sean Moynihan from Alone. But first, I'm joined in the studio by Craig Hughes, political correspondent at the Irish Daily Mail. Craig, thanks for coming in this morning. So let's deal with your front page headline. You and your colleagues writing an article under the headline, Leo signed off secret nursing home payouts. Now, this is despite what Leo Varadkar said on a News Talk yesterday, when he claimed he was never party to devising or agreeing a legal strategy in relation to nursing home charges. So what do you have today?
Yes, good morning, Claire. So the day before Leo Varadkar stepped down as Minister for Health in May 2016, a memo to the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Health goes into detail about the department's legal advice in dealing with these claims. But crucially in all of this, it says in the absence of a test case, it has been agreed by the Minister at the time, which is Leo Varadkar, and the Attorney General, that settlements are made within the range of 40% to 60% of the capital value of the claim. So earlier yesterday, we had Leo Varadkar saying that, you know, he had no part in this strategy. Yet here we have an internal document from within the Department of Health, a confidential document that says he agreed a part of it while he was there.
So you're saying that he approved a continuation of the policy? Is that your position?
So a continuation and also a range by which claims should be settled.
Okay, this is the claims to be settled within 40 to 60% of what was being sought. Now, we had a statement from the government this morning. We asked specifically about the allegations around Leo Varadkar and whether he'd signed off on the nursing home payments. This is what we got back. The legal strategy predated July 2011 and was pursued by successive governments. It has been misrepresented. The strategy was to defend the cases relating to private nursing homes on several grounds, in particular that medical card holders did not have an unqualified entitlement to free private nursing home care. A limited number of individual cases were settled where there were complicating factors. No case ever proceeded to a hearing. In the case of public nursing homes, a scheme was put in place and €480 million was paid to former residents and their families. And they go on to say that the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, has sought advice from the Attorney General and a detailed briefing from his department. It has been misrepresented is the second sentence in that statement, Craig. What do you say?
First point, no case ever made it to court because it was the strategy and legal advice to them to not let that happen because of the implications of a case going to court and the liability that would open them up to. Another point, just to reference there, I went to the Taoiseach spokesman last night for a comment on this. He said, we can't comment on documents I haven't seen. I sent him the documents. Still no response was forthcoming. And then I asked, can the Taoiseach stand over the comments he made on the radio yesterday? And I received no response.
Okay. You have information also about two current cabinet members alongside the Taoiseach who were warned about the explosive nature of the secret legal ploy in 2017. So warned about the potential legal dangers around this.
That's right. So Minister Simon Harris and Minister Helen McEntee at the time, Minister Harris was the Health Minister and Minister McEntee was the Minister of State in the department. They were provided a briefing document around this. They were warned of the importance of managing the historic long-stay litigation and, quote, with extreme care, discretion and confidentiality due to the very substantial level of liability to which the state could potentially be exposed to following an adverse outcome. So for the government to now say that we're misrepresenting this, I just think it is completely lacks credibility.
Okay, now I know certainly in our own newsroom we've had responses from those two ministers. So this is from Micheál Lehane. Minister Harris does not have access to the documents referred to. This is coming from his spokesperson. He hasn't been Minister for Health since 2020. The minister is engaging with the Department of Health on this matter. So I would imagine we're likely to hear more from Simon Harris on that. A spokesperson for Minister Helen McEntee, who you'll remember was a junior health minister between 2016 and 2017, said that the minister is on maternity leave, and that's fair enough. But it sounds as though there is more to come from perhaps Minister Harris on this, would you say?
Well, I think we're going to have to expect something further from all parties involved in this as well. And I think it's also important to say that Micheál Martin is also embroiled in this. It almost cost him his political career back in 2005. And after the Travers report, his Secretary General at the time was sacked over the issue.
What about the other ministers involved? Because we know there were successive governments who have, according to what we've heard in the whistleblower claims, approved this strategy over the years. What have you heard from those ministers?
Yeah, I've gone back to anyone who's been mentioned in the documents. I contacted former Finance Minister Michael Noonan yesterday. He said he has no recollection of it. My colleague Brian Mahan contacted Eamon Gilmore. Similarly, he said he has no recollection of it. Former Taoiseach Enda Kenny declined to comment. So we've yet to hear anything substantive from any of the former ministers involved in this.
So where does this go now? What's going to happen?
Well, it's scheduled for a Dáil debate next week, but I'd be extremely surprised if this wasn't raised on the floor of the Dáil during leaders' questions today. I'd be surprised if it doesn't dominate the political debate for the coming weeks. I think the difficult question that politicians involved in this are going to have to answer is, how can you claim to represent the public interest when you were shown something that clearly went against the public interest and didn't act on it?
And the Health Committee has been asked to seek documents from the Department of Health as well. We know David Cullinan yesterday told us that he'd already written. I think he wrote his letter on Sunday. Roisin Shortall this morning on Morning Ireland says she's written as well.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of political tug of war in this, because the Public Accounts Committee Chairman Brian Stanley also wants to get hold of these as well. So I think this week there'll be a process of politicians kind of wading through all the documents before it goes then through a full-scale Dáil debate next week.
All right, but let's get a sense now of how significant this story might be. We have Sean Moynihan, Chief Executive of Alone, on the line. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
You represent older people. What's your reaction to what you've been hearing over the last couple of days?
I suppose naturally in Alone we're concerned about anything that affects older people, their families, in the matter of care. And I suppose this is a chance for the government now in some ways and even the system to say, when people are overcharged or something like this happens, that it comes out and deals with the full compensation issues. I think there's a fair level of complexity here and a bit of things come out. But even when the settlement was made with public patients, it was quite a narrow scheme back there then. I think people need to remember that older people going into nursing homes in a lot of cases give 80% of their income up, up to 21% of the value of their house. So it's something older people pay for and always pay for. We're waiting for the government to live up to it. The government has said for the last 3 years on a programme of government, it's set up a commission for care to work out how we're going to support and care for older people as we get an ageing demographic, and also how we're going to deal with that the whole scheme is based on house ownership and that is dropping. And we're still waiting on the scoping exercise for that to be completed. So unfortunately, delay, delay, delay. And the problem with that is older people can't really wait.
What does this say, though, about the need, Sean, for an office like a commissioner for older people?
I think for us in Alone, last week we launched a document with seven national age charities, the Age Alliance, and it was about combating ageism. And the biggest thing we wanted was the establishment of an independent commissioner on ageing. It would operate like an ombudsman, but to hold government to account on the needs of older people. part of that is obviously about discussion ageism and how people are discriminated against. But the reality is we feel that we need that independent commissioner so these issues are dealt with, and that ultimately is people get their rights and entitlements.
What's the biggest issue for you? The fact that perhaps there is compensation outstanding here, or is it the way it's alleged this was dealt with by successive governments and successive ministers?
I think the challenge with this thing is that unfortunately the state, without targeting any individual, and it's complex cases, you can see all the statements coming in now and people are still getting more information. But I think unfortunately the state in general, not just the Department of Health, has a track record that when it makes mistakes of not rectifying those states in the public interest. And what we want to see is maybe this is an opportunity to move forward with a new attitude to come out and deal with something that where a mistake was made, actually compensate people, rather than what it looks like is only those who had the ability to take legal cases actually got what they were entitled to.
Even if rectifying it and compensating people means a bill for the state to the tune of 12 billion?
I think the reality is I think that number could be, you know, who knows? But the reality of it is right, nobody knows that at the moment. But if we don't, you know, if you don't stand for something, you go with anything. And I suppose whether we're talking about older people in nursing homes, whether we're talking about people prior right, whether we're talking about women's health, if we don't actually fess up when we make mistakes, compensate people and give people back where they're due, I mean, ultimately is we'll have things like this always happening.
Sean, thank you very much for joining us. Michelle Murphy, Research and Policy Analyst with Social Justice Ireland, is also with us. Good morning to you, Michelle.
Good morning, Claire.
Sean made reference there to equal access to justice arising out of this legal strategy. So if you had the means, the wherewithal and the strength to pursue a case, you were likely to reach a settlement with the state. If not, you didn't get anything.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's really important, as Craig made the point earlier, that all the documentation relating to this is, you know, made available in the public domain and goes to the Oireachtas Committee on Health. But like at the nuts and bolts of this, you had older people who, through no fault of their own, could not access the care they needed in public nursing homes and had to access private nursing homes. They were on limited incomes. A medical card is means tested. They had to try and support themselves, or their family had to try and support them. Then you're looking at a family who are dealing not only with a bereavement, but then do they have the financial capacity to access justice in the first case? And then can they take that case? Do they feel confident to take the case? And Jenny, you're looking at people on lower incomes who have other drains and commitments on their resources, and they're dealing with a bereavement. You had an older person who felt like a burden on their family, and for us it's just really, really concerning, because Claire, you know, at the end of this year we're going to have hopefully a statutory entitlement to home supports, which Social Justice Ireland has called for a long time. We have a success story that's an ageing population, but we're not planning for it. You know, when the Fair Deal came out, one of the first questions Social Justice Ireland asked was there sufficient funding available. We were sure there was, but now we still have issues in terms relating to waiting lists. Now we are getting older, but we still don't see the resources. And this boils down to resources, because people were, entitled to a form of care in public nursing homes that wasn't available because there weren't enough spaces available for them. So they had to go to private care. Now we're looking at, you know, a statutory entitlement to home supports that we need. We need to look at things like delivering long-term care in the community, investing in community nursing facilities, planning for aging, as Sean said. The commission and care should be looking at planning and how we care. Like it's a basic foundation of the social contract that in times of need, in times of care, you can access the care that you require because you're contributing to the social contract at other points in the life cycle. But what we've seen is a consistent lack of planning, not just over this decade, over a number of decades, in terms of how we resource the services that the state says people are entitled to. And it's not just older people. I mean, we've seen the issues in terms of children with additional needs or a disability trying to access school places, as people with mental health concerns trying to access mental health services. It's across the spectrum, and there's a persistent lack of planning in terms of how we resource.
So you're saying that we're likely to run into this problem again?
We absolutely are, Claire, because there was a report published earlier last year looking at, you know, if we're going to make home supports available, not just to older people, but to all adults who need them, how that might be funded. And, you know, it's clear the government are looking at some sort of charging mechanism. As Sean said, Sean Moynihan said, we have older people now who don't own their own home who are going to get into the system. And the Fair Deal scheme is predicated on, you know, home ownership. You're going to have probably some sort of similar system in relation to long-term care, home supports, community supports. How do we deal with people who are aging, do not have their own home, who are reliant on the state pension, who certainly won't have the resources to access these things? Where is the planning and where is the commitment to resourcing? Because at the end of the day, if you are going to resource this for an aging population, you need to look at your revenue and your tax take and how you're going to raise that to provide the services people require.
Michelle, thank you for taking our call. Michelle Murphy there, Research and Policy Analyst from Social Justice Ireland. Craig Hughes is still here from the Irish Daily Mail. Just to come back to the nub of this, because I get that this is quite complex and we're looking back at a 30-year period, but for you, is the significance of this story trust in the state, trust in how compensation issues will be dealt with where somebody has what they feel is a fair claim?
I think so. And I think there's been too many examples, particularly in the Irish health system, whereby people, legitimate cases are shut down and confidentiality is used as a way to block others getting access to justice. I really think that the government is going to struggle to explain the way out of this one.
All right, Craig, thank you very much. And if there's any further news on that story, and I expect there will be further reaction throughout the morning, we'll certainly bring that to you when we get it. Right now, though, we'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.